You don't have to become a member. We're just going through some important stuff for our church. Hold up your hand. I'd like to have everyone have one, not just one per couple. So we have plenty of them back there. So raise your hand. My daughter's got some. Okay, back here. Anyone else? Make sure you grab a couple. I know the announcement that was on the screen a couple weeks while I was gone said we're going to do this after we finish the book of James, but I changed that for several reasons. One is we finish in a good spot just before we went on vacation. We finished James chapter 3. So we probably still got a number of more messages. I'm not sure if it's 18, 20, somewhere in there. It's going to take us about 10 to 11 weeks to do this, this series. 10 weeks that we'll look at the different classes. There's 10 different classes that I take people through when they want to become a member, plus one that will probably kind of summarize everything at the end. And 10 weeks from today starts our missions conference. Or there's 10 weeks before our missions conference starts, the 1st of October. So that'll give us 11 weeks to accomplish this. I know I wouldn't get James done in that time. And then once Missions Month is done in October, we'll kind of have a Thanksgiving series and a Christmas series. And in January, we always do a stewardship series and a Right to Life, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And then we'll pick up James, Lord willing, we'll pick up James beginning again the end of January. Another reason is we have some possible things that we're looking at regarding the future of our church. And membership is always important. And the main reason is since I came back and started speaking here in 2009, I asked the board, I said, do we have a membership role anywhere? We've looked everywhere through our church. We did have an old directory, phone directory, and there were some asterisks next to people's names who were supposed to be members. But we don't have a list. And really, as a corporation, we need to have a membership role. So what our plan is, we're going to go through this each week for the 10 or 11 weeks. I know some of you are members, but we're just going to assume no one is. Now, if you've already a member, don't take that in the wrong way. But at the end of this, if someone wants to become a member of the church, we'll tell you exactly what the role is for that. You have to be a part of each of the 10 classes. You'll have to fill out a testimony sheet, which we'll do, I think, week 2 or week 3. We'll go from there. But we have some people who've already approached me about membership. So that's why we're doing this, okay? Membership is important. If you look at the bottom of your agenda for this morning, our mini bulletin, where it had the songs listed, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He says, we must grasp once again the idea of church membership as being the membership of the body of Christ and as the biggest honor which can come a man's way in this world. We don't often think of church membership as being that vital, but it really is. We become a part of the body of Christ. We come together. It's great to come together to worship, but there's something powerful about investing yourselves together. Now, people say, well, is membership biblical? I think it is. We don't talk about membership. And I've never really pushed membership in my whole time here. We do have a number of people before they can serve as far as teachers. They have to be a member of the church. If you want to come up and sing or do something like that, you don't need to be a member. But membership has some very positive things that go along with that. So that's why we're doing that, all right? We're just going to assume that since we've never seen a membership role, and our church is, like I said, almost 150 years old, 144, something like that, it's important that we have that. So we're just going to start at the end of this. Anybody who wants to become a member can. We know that our deacons are members, obviously. But we're going to go from there, okay? So don't feel pressured. No one needs to join. But we're going to be talking this morning about the purpose and the vision of the church. I don't know if you're going to be able to read all this or not. But this is going to go along with what you have in your hand out there. And there's some things you need to fill out. So let me just go back to the introduction before I even start with this. On your notes, it says, We're going to discuss what it means to make a difference. How is our church going to make a difference? How do we reach our role or play our role? What are some of our goals? What are our purposes as a church? There's dozens of churches within just a few miles of here, hundreds of churches within probably a 20-mile, 10-mile radius, hundreds of thousands of churches across the United States, millions around the world. So what's going to make Draper Baptist Church distinct? Why is Draper special? Well, I'm not saying it is any more special, but this is the church that we worship together in. And I think you're going to see as we look at this, these are some purposes and the vision of many churches, but specifically, these are ours. So some important questions. What is the church? Who are we? What are we supposed to be doing? And how are we to be doing it? We can say we have ideas. We can say we have purposes. We can say we have goals, but how are we accomplishing them? So we've talked about when I first came, we established a purpose. We went through the purpose, didn't actually go through it, but we went through it with the deacons, the purpose-driven church. And in that book, they list five different purposes. We added a sixth just because we think it's important. But we grow higher through worship. We grow higher through worship. We grow closer to God as we worship God. And people think of worship as just being, they come in, they hear the announcements, they give the offering, and that's just part of the church. And worship is when we sing a couple of songs, that's worship. No, worship is from the moment you get up in the morning, worship should be beginning. When you get up in your private time at your home, how many find Sunday mornings the most difficult day to worship? Anybody besides, put your hand, be honest. I mean, you get up, you feel like, wish it was Saturday, I could sleep in again. My wife said that this morning. She came out about 7:15, and she goes, getting up is no fun. We were on vacation for a couple of weeks. We didn't have to get up. She's not at school through the summer, so she didn't have to get up this week. If you have children and you're trying to get them ready, especially the little kids, getting them up and getting them awake, getting them fed, getting them cleaned, and then after they're cleaned, keeping them clean so they can stay dressed for church, right? If you had little children, you can remember all those days. You can remember it, and it seems like they get sick and they vomit on Sunday mornings. That's the day they do all that stuff. But our hearts are prepared for worship long before we arrive at church. Our worship should begin, and we just need to turn that day over to the Lord. As soon as the moment we our eyes open, Lord, I want to worship you today. The church exists to love God. That's something you need to fill in on your notes there. I'm going to turn around to read this because I didn't write the notes, the verses out. Matthew 4:10 said, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" That's the Matthew 4:10 passage. The Matthew 22 says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." We need to understand that worship isn't an obligation that we have. It isn't a duty, although we're called to do that. But we need to worship because God is God for what God has done for us, because we love him and because of his love for us. We need to worship because we want to. We've had this discussion more specifically probably the last 8 months as a board of why aren't people coming to church? And it's not just us. Some churches are growing. A lot of churches are really struggling. I was talking to a woman the other day in a church in town, and or not in town, but in the area. And she said they've been without a pastor for 2 years because she said, we only have 15 to 25 people. And I said, well, we're down around that sometimes too. If everyone came out, we'd have 60, but not everyone's coming out. So we talked about that with the board is why is that not happening? Why are people not showing up? And I think it boils down to this. They just don't want to. They've got out of the habit, and you've got to be very careful of this. I understand people being sick. I understand family issues coming up. But 1 week is easy to do. We can do that. And we all miss that. We all miss a week here and there. But if it comes to 2, 3, 4 weeks, then it becomes a habit. And people don't want to get back into the routine again. Getting up on Sunday morning is such a pain. That's what we would hear. People just do not want to do it. We should enjoy expressing our love to him. That's another thing to fill out there on the bottom of that growing higher through worship. We should enjoy expressing our love to him. Do you enjoy expressing your love? Good. I appreciate hearing that amen. It's interesting when you're up here leading music, and I should ask Russ sometimes, the people who just don't sing. People don't move their mouths. That's expressing love to him. Even if you can't sing. You know I don't sing well. But I love singing so no one can hear me. That's why when I'm leading music, where am I? I'm over here. People say, get next to the mic. No, I'm not going to be next to the mic. I don't want to ruin worship for you. But I enjoy it myself. We need to enjoy expressing our love to God. That's part of how we grow higher, of how we grow mature through worship. We need to grow stronger through ministry. We grow stronger through ministry because the reason the church exists is to minister to other people. We've had opportunities in the years since I've been here to do some things for people, but I remember probably wasn't even here 6 months when the old Antler restaurant burned down. You remember that whole situation? It burned down, and we knew some of the people who were there. I knew the fellow who was rebuilding it. But it was brought up at one of our deacons' meetings. I think it just happened over the weekend, and we met on a Monday night, and our deacons were just talking about it. I said, what can we do? And you deacons who are here remember that. We weren't in the financial shape at that point. We weren't in great shape, but today it would be a little bit more difficult, but we said, okay, let's go out and buy some items for it. So a couple of us went to Walmart. We had a $500 gift card. We went and bought sheets and pillows and towels. We bought some different food items and took it down to them on a Sunday afternoon. And they were so appreciative. They thanked us over and over and over again. They wrote us notes. But that's what I'm talking about, is we need to look for opportunities to minister to people in our community. Many of us are praying for Callie Cavanaugh, little 8-year-old girl or so who's dying with cancer. We're praying that God intervenes and touches her. But it's one thing to pray, but I appreciate people who, from here, who know them, have said, hey, when they see the family, they say, hey, Draper Baptist is praying for you. They need to know that we're supporting them. And that's what ministry is all about. We let people know. We just don't just do it in our four walls here. We go out and let people know, hey, I am praying for you. And that's why I carry this little booklet, because I tend to forget. I'll tell someone I'm going to pray for them, and then 5 minutes later, life goes on and I forget. So I write things down. If someone asks me to pray, I want to be able to do that. And then I want to be able to look at them 2 or 3 weeks and say, hey, I remembered. How's God answered that prayer? That's ministering. The church exists to minister to people. Ministry is showing God's love to others by meeting their needs and healing their hurts in Jesus' name. Ministry is showing God's love. It's not necessarily preaching. It's not necessarily taking the Bible out and going through the Romans Road and all the four spiritual laws and sharing with them and saying, you've got to come to Christ today. It's not necessarily doing that. There will be opportunities to do that, which we'll get to in just a few moments. But ministry is just showing God's love. Just being full of grace. Taking things on a bus trip, right? She said she had opportunities to have conversations and prayers with some people. That's what ministry is, showing God's love. I don't know what she did, but I don't imagine she said, had a big halo above her head and saying, talk to me because I'm a saint. Did you do that? We don't do that, but we just show God's love and we want to be real to people. We want to attract people. We want to draw people to Christ. And that's what ministry is showing them that God's love is real. Because you know what? I had a conversation with someone else in the last couple of weeks who's not a Christian. And they said to me, they said, you know, for being a pastor, You haven't yet pushed anything on me, and I really appreciate that. And I've had opportunities to talk to them about Christ since then, but they said, Christians just turn us off. It's either because they're so pushy and they want to, you know, have a notch checked off on their belt that says, I witnessed that person. They didn't accept Christ, but I did my job. Next person. Rather than showing God's love and not judging anyone, but just say, hey, God loves you. I love you. There are many kinds of needs, and you can fill in more than these. I just put the four down here: physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, all kinds of different other needs that are there. But Ephesians 4:12 says we are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I look at that as being probably my number one job as a pastor, is to equip you to do the work. I can witness to people. I can share with people. I can take things to people's homes and get a check from the church and go out and buy some things and go maybe visit 10 people in a week. But it's when we equip you and we multiply that by 40 or 50 and you do the same thing throughout the week, we reach many more people. That's what ministry is about. So we grow stronger through ministry. There was an old song that talked about... trying to remember how it went, but prayer is resting, devotions are resting, ministry is exercising, and then, prayer is resting, digesting and feeding on God's word is feeding, and then ministry is getting our exercise. You can't just sit around and eat all day and do nothing. You're just going to be a fat little person, or fat little, big person. If all you do is rest and don't eat, you're just going to be fat and lazy. If all you do is exercise, you're going to be really skinny and sick. You need to have the balance of eating God's word, of praying and resting in his word, but then also out doing it. That's exercise. We grow larger through evangelism. That's talking about the church growing larger, us growing larger personally, but we grow larger through evangelism. And you see, the church exists to take God's word to the world. Have you ever wondered why the moment we accepted Christ, he didn't take us to heaven? This is the reason. It's because he's called us to share his love, to take his word out to a hurting and dying world. And I think if we could come to grips with the fact that people are dying without the gospel, if we could see in a little, if our Bible were like a crystal ball and we could open it up and just see our family members' faces and just see this person's going to die in the next month and I've never talked to them about Christ, then we might have a passion for the lost. Then we might have a passion for evangelism. We're not given a crystal ball. We're just given the command to go out and to take God's word out. We are ambassadors. The Bible calls us. We are ambassadors for Christ, and our mission is to reach the world. An ambassador for Christ. When we were down in Lancaster, we attended Calvary Church, and I was trained and certified eventually in Evangelism Explosion, which uses a couple of different means to share Christ. It's probably the best program I've ever gone through on evangelism, and I've shared a lot of that here in our evangelism courses. But there was a ministry down there, a mission ministry called Ambassadors for Christ. And that was the guy who trained me in Evangelism Explosion was one of their missionaries. And I just remember that, just that name is just an ambassador for Christ. That's what we're all called to be. We're all called to be an ambassador. And whether it's an ambassador on a bus or an ambassador to take clothing and food and things to a family that's been burned out and lost everything, our mission is to reach the world. And we do it one person at a time. Operation Christmas Child does it 10 million ways a year. But we're part of that with maybe our 60 or 70 or 80 boxes we give. And we have a time of prayer in November after we send those out because we don't know who's going to get our box. But we know that the gospel is going to be in it. And that's a way of reaching the world with Christ. We're ambassadors when we do that. The task is so important, and you might have already written all this down, maybe you already knew, but the task is so important that Christ gave the Great Commission five times. We know it was in Matthew and Mark, Luke, John, and in Acts 1. Jesus took this part of ministry seriously. And he's invited us to be a partner with him. We don't know who's going to come to Christ through our words. We don't know who has needs. We know that our world today, you don't have to be a Christian to even know that. You talk to non-Christian people and they say, our world's a mess. Our world has no hope. Well, we as Christians, we do know the hope, right? Somebody else say amen. Amen. We have the answer for what our world's going through. When we watch the news and we see all the stuff that's going on in the world, and we hear from the Abrahams about what's going on in Indonesia and our other missionaries who just share what's going on. And then I get this stuff every week about Christ working in Muslim nations and Muslims coming to Christ by the thousands. We don't hear about that. But that's part of evangelism, that someone is sharing with them. Stop to think about what does it cost for someone to share Christ with a Muslim in those Muslim nations? It's probably going to cost them their life. But listen to the effect. Thousands upon thousands of people each week, maybe each day, Muslims are coming to Christ because of a witness of someone who's not afraid to die. And I've shared this before. I remember we had a missionary, or a young singing group. We didn't bring them in, but we were at a concert trying to remember where they were from, Yugoslavia or Czechoslovakia or one of those countries where back in the 80s and early 90s was dangerous to live in. And I remember this guy got up and he spoke in kind of broken English, but talking to our youth, and he said, how many of you are willing to live for Christ? And everybody's hand went up. And he goes, that's really great. He said, that's easy to do. How many of you are willing to die for Christ? He said, that's what it's cost our friends over in Yugoslavia or Czechoslovakia. We could say now in Turkey or Iran or any of these Muslim countries. It's easy to live for Christ. Are we willing to die for Christ? And that's what evangelism might lead us to in our nation. We grow closer through fellowship. We grow larger. That's how our church will grow, is through evangelism. But we grow closer together through fellowship. And again, people might say, well, our next fellowship's August 6th and we have our dinner. No, our fellowship is the greeting this morning. It was so always neat to hear people talking and laughing and just being loud and not listening to me when I say it's time to take your seat. You keep talking. That's great. That's fellowship. It's not just eating together. It's not just doing things together. It's just being together. Going, baptizing, and teaching are all parts of making disciples. And you notice that baptism symbolizes our relationship with Christ and our relationship to each other. But we need to go and we need to make disciples, but we need to be together. I have Acts up here first. So then those who have received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. Then Hebrews 10, let us consider how to stimulate one another on to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. We see through the Bible of fellowship times. I think one of the things I've always talked about is I try to put myself in Bible stories when I read through them. Can you imagine just being one of the disciples with Jesus? Can you imagine having fellowship with him? I have no problem picturing Jesus being a practical joker and just laughing. We think of him just being kind of a dry, serious guy who's always just teaching, looking for opportunities. Oh, you messed up. Don't do it again. I saw that. I wasn't even there, and I know you did it, Ron. That's how we think of him, just being this, someone once called it a universal cop. Like he's everywhere and kind of looking for everyone to turn a siren on and arrest us and beat us down because we did something wrong. I picture him being with Peter and those guys and just laughing. And just having fellowship with him. And having meals. We know about the last meal. But, you know, Jesus ate several times a day. It wasn't just the last meal. It wasn't just the last supper. Can you imagine having fun with him? I can picture Jesus taking food and throwing it in the head. Just look at him sometime. Just read scripture. And look at those moments when he was with the disciples. And just try to think, I wonder what kind of fun they had together. That's a huge part of it for me. I just love thinking of stuff like that with Jesus. And, I don't think he ever criticized anyone. He never made fun of anyone. But I imagine he teased with his disciples. I imagine those who he was closest with had fun. Because think of your closest friend. You don't always have serious conversations, do you? No, you have fun. That's what makes some good friends, going through those difficult times together, laughing when you're struggling with something and you're hurting and having someone just come along and not laughing at an inappropriate time, but cracking a joke and just making you feel better and looking at life not always so seriously. Those are the friends that stick with you and that you remember. And that's, I believe, what Jesus did with his men. He had fellowship. He had a good time with them. He partied. He enjoyed life. Number five, we grow deeper through discipleship. We grow up through worship. We grow closer to God. We grow deeper. We plant our roots through discipleship. The church exists to grow or educate God's people. The church exists to grow people up into maturity, to grow people up into what God wants them to be. That's why small groups are so important. That's why Sunday school is important. That's why Sunday morning worship service is so important. It helps us to grow. It helps us to understand God's word. And we've tried to do it in my time here of doing different things. We did the book, the story, remember, from Genesis to Revelation, a great book. It wasn't every verse in it, but we spent time in that, and I had people comment about how powerful that book. We did The Cure last year, 2 years ago, and I was just looking at the room of grace and just realizing that God loves me in spite of this massive pile of my sin. God still loves me. He puts his arm around me in the room of grace and says, we're going to deal with that together. In the other room, the room of law, the room of self-effort, it was, we saw God on the other side of our sin and said, I can never reach God. I can never be what he wants me to be. And then the traveler left the room of self-effort, trying to get rid of all his sin, and then came to the room of grace and realized that's where life exists. It's because of God's grace. We need to understand and have our people understand that you're not going to be perfect. And I'll expect you to be perfect when you, me as your pastor, gets perfect. But until then, we're just going to grow together. Discipleship is the process of helping people become more Christ-like in their thoughts, in their feelings, in their actions. And we know people who are struggling with unsaved family, unsaved parents, wayward kids. We get frustrated with ourselves because sometimes we say, man, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I should be way up here, and look at me, I'm still down here. We need to grow together. We need to spend time together. That's what fellowship, that's what worship together, that's why membership is so important, is that we can grow together. I put in here, we will try to accomplish this in our Sunday school classes, our worship services, and our small groups. But it's also just one-on-one time of meeting people in the office and counseling them, of having times together, of just getting together on a weekend, or having people over for a meal on Sunday. And just talking about life, not getting the Bible out and saying, I'm going to have a Bible study today on the book of Revelation. We're going to cover all the chapters in about 25 minutes. So just sit still and listen to me. We don't do that. That's part of Bible study, but that's not part of necessarily discipleship with I'm one-on-one with someone. It's just living it out and talking to people about Christ. So we grow deeper as a church. We grow deeper as individuals. And by the way, I never speak on a Sunday morning without God teaching me something throughout the week in study. That's how I grow deeper as well. It's not me just giving it all to you and me saying, I have it all together, listen to me. We grow deeper as we study God's word together. And then finally, we grow broader through missions. The book, The Purpose-Driven Church, had the first five. When I came, we talked about missions being so important, and I said, let's add a sixth one. So if you read The Purpose-Driven Church, you're going to see the first five. You won't see the one on missions. But I think it's important for our church. And as I said before, when I first came to the church, I asked the board, I said, what is our mission budget? What percentage? And I think it was like 3% at that point. And I said, my goal within 5 years is to have it at 25%. Well, we're not quite there yet. We're, I know, 15%, something like that, but certainly better than 3%. And I've really emphasized missions. That's why we have a missions month in October, Missions is very, very important to the Church of Jesus Christ, and we grow broader. We're going to have brothers and sisters from Senegal. We're going to have brothers and sisters from Indonesia. We're going to have brothers and sisters from Papua New Guinea that we'll never see here, but that we're going to meet, and they're going to say, hey, you sent the Abrahams, you sent the Talmans, and as a result of that, I'm in heaven with you. Isn't that exciting to think about? We grow broader through missions. Our family grows larger. We're told to go into the world. Said Draper Baptist will support missionaries, endeavor to expose our people to different cultures and countries, and pray for mission work throughout the world. I want to expose you as much as I can to different cultures, to different parts of the world. I want you to see and hear what God's doing in places that you probably never go. That's why I'm always excited to share with you what God's doing with the Muslim nations. But it's exciting to hear what our missionaries see day by day, week by week, and what they struggle with. The Talmans are getting ready to go back. Remember when the Talmans were here, and Will shared very honestly about how scared his wife is to drive because they'll just stop you randomly on the street, hold a machine gun in the car to you, and she's scared of that. Those are soldiers. I mean, those are people trying to protect the streets and protect most of them, trying to protect the roadways. But there are those cops out there who will, you know, rape a woman. And she's scared to death of that. Doesn't happen. We drove all the way to South Carolina. Never had a cop stick a machine gun in the car at us. We don't think about that, what goes on around the world. So that's why it's important for us to hear those things. At the bottom of your sheet, and I just put it up here real quick, these purposes must be in balance. We don't want to emphasize missions over worship. We don't want to encourage fellowship more than we do discipleship. They need to be all part of our church, and I think we're doing a good job with that. The church is called to do each of these, and we want everything we do to accomplish at least one of these purposes. We need to filter our programs through these purposes to make sure that everything we do has a purpose. For a while, we did that with the Board of Deacons. We looked at our Awana. What was Awana can accomplish a couple of different things. It's good for evangelism. It's good for discipleship. It's good for fellowship. Our small groups do that. Our Sunday morning worship does that. Our time of fellowship was doing that. And there's talk about maybe bringing that back next year. We'll see if we do that again. Having a little bit longer thing, less food, making it easier on the people, but just a little longer time of fellowship just to get to talk to each other. But all of our things, all of the ministries that we do, you should be able to run through these six purposes and find that they hit at least one, hopefully more than that. But you think about the different ministries of our church, our ladies program, our ladies luncheon, all those things take up part of these purposes. So that's the first week of our study. Gives you an idea of what Draper Baptist Church is about. It gives you an idea of what we're looking to do and how we're trying to do it and why we're trying to do it. And I hope that as we come through this and as we look at the different parts of the study, that you will consider, if you haven't made Draper Baptist your church home, to really pray about it and to really think, is this the type of church that I want to be affiliated with? Is it the type of church I can support with my giving? Is it the type of church I can support with my attendance and my prayer? I trust that it is. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this time, Lord, of just looking at a real simple thing as we've gone through with our those who've joined our church. It's old stuff for them. They've already heard it, but even the older members in our church, they haven't gone through this stuff since we put it into practice. So I pray that it would be a good blessing for us to understand why our church exists and what we're looking to accomplish. I pray that we would grow together. I pray that we would grow closer together, closer to you. But Lord, I pray that our church would just grow, that we'd see people coming to Christ and seeing people being part of our church and supporting it with their giving, with their attendance, with their ministry, with their involvement, with their prayers. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and we're just going to sing one verse of Take Time to Be Holy. relationship with you. I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with your Holy Spirit and his presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you for the people that make up your church. Lord, it's so much more than just a building. It's lives, and we pray that we would impact more in our world and our neighborhood around us, that others would see Christ, and Lord, to realize that we're not out representing Draper Baptist Church. We are representing you, and we give you the praise for what you accomplish in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.